Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
It's a blessing to be in the presence of God. And I want us to consider Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. We're reading together. It's such a blessing. Are you ready? Shall we read together? One, go. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about seasons of glory, and we are doing part 11 now. Praise the Lord. Kindly give me the verse 29. Verse 29 says that these two verses actually are addressing the redemptive program of God for man. And this is, I don't even call it pre-redemption. It's redemption to post-redemption. How God has seen the whole process and how man is supposed to function. In that process, we know that nothing has happened outside the consciousness of God. That he uses the word, for whom he did foreknow. Before we were conceived and born, he already foreknew us. So God's creation was already in his foreknowledge, and he produced the creation. Praise the Lord. Produced it. He knew all the challenges that were going to come with it. And yet, he did produce it. I think it tells us that we don't need to wait for what looks like faultless or perfect plan in our heads to start any project we have to start. Because God created man who was perfect in his eyes. He looked at man and he said, this is very good. Is that not so? And yet, man came and the way man was functioning, it was not as good as, you know, he was supposed to. Sometimes you are waiting for a perfect plan to start a business. You are waiting for a perfect plan to start a family. I want to finish my master's. I want to finish. You are waiting for a perfect plan to start producing your children in a legitimate way. Let me add that one before somebody will go and get pregnant by the side. Say it is, you don't need to wait for a perfect plan to get pregnant in a legitimate way with a man, a woman you have married. You don't need to wait for a perfect plan. If it's a good enough plan and you pray, you will have the help of God. And you will see that God gave man support and help throughout the process. When man had not fallen, God put a support system there in the garden. When man fell and clothed himself with weeds, God came, took the weeds, and gave them something better to clothe themselves with. He threw them outside of the garden. He still provided support for them until Christ, and then redeemed man and sent man back to glory. Are you with me? And so, tell somebody that start anyway. with that plan. Tell somebody, start anywhere with that plan. Start with that step. I think I'm talking to somebody right now. Some people have to adopt a child. Don't wait till you say, oh, I want my own biological child. Adopt. Calm down. You will give birth. You won't give birth to one or two. You will give birth to three or more. Say amen. But it's a good plan. You can't always wait for the perfect plan to start what, to follow the way God started. So day that he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Predestination is a big doctrine, you know, and so many people try to even make it more of an African traditional religious thing. But you have to define it in God's terms. Predestination has nothing to do with makwaba, incarnation, reincarnation, all those things that African traditional religion tries to bring into our faith. But God has a plan. For me, predestination is what we read in I know the thoughts and plans that I have towards you. They are good, they are not evil, to bring you to a perfect end. Are you with me? And that God knows the end from the beginning. That he has given you a purpose. There is a plan to that purpose and its execution and fulfillment. And he is in the process with you, revealing to you every step of the way what that plan is. And that he doesn't give you the plan outrightly. So every stage, he shows you what to do, guides you, directs your path, and plants you in what is his will. Because of predestination, when you receive Christ into your life, it is not easy to be removed from the Lord. Because in your righteousness, the nature of Christ is imputed to you. His righteousness is imputed to you. And that's why some things that may be human flaws and here and there earthly matters do not account for you missing your eternal placement in Christ. That is why I say things like, when you are in church, you have to be guarded and guided by the word of God. So that when you are dealing with human beings, you will not stretch the matter too much, thinking that God loves you more than the other person. So that if you are not happy with the other person, God will exact your desire on the other person. It's not going to happen like that. Ain't you know, because when Tiana Bompa is saying, I mean Tianeka, and that's why because God has a plan and he won't destroy his plan because. Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me? That's why you have to guard your heart, because sometimes, you know, somebody who enter into a relationship with someone and then it doesn't go well, and then you seem to feel like you are the only apple of his eyes, and I'm going to call on my father to rain vengeance and judgment on you. But we are siblings to the same parent, and he's not going to kill me because you are not happy with me. So if you start a relationship with someone in church and then the person breaks your heart, you have to take a chill pill and calm down and relax, because Charlie, you break. You only have to move on to the next one who will give you joy, because it's as this way. It's not part of the divine plan for God to begin to now alter his plan because they broke your heart. It's the same if in the church you allow somebody to fornicate with you. If he chop you, he chop you free. It's free chop. God is not going to kill the person because you allowed yourself to be fired left, right, center. And sometimes you need to understand that there is a bigger plan. And all these small, small issues you are bringing on board will not make God kill anybody. Are you with me? Yeah. So be guided when you are in a relationship. That's why Bible has given us some form of code of conduct, even within grace. That within the ambit of grace, there are some things that believers should not partake in. So when you overstep and you go and partake in, and then, Charlie, don't gas. Once gas, Charlie, we have to take it like that. Intent of nano by my office, I'm going to start a counseling. I'm senior or hat in the bay healed in Kakakra. And I say, what to Abra Bonoso? Are you with me at all? Yeah. So, it's early morning. Don't frown your face. I'm just preaching. I'm telling you that in church, some things you cannot handle, you have to make sure that you manage. Because if you don't manage relationships in church, they can easily damage you. Sometimes relationships in church can hurt you than help you. And so make sure that to every degree that you want to commit, the hurt will not be that damaging. And maybe it will be more helpful than hurtful. Are you with me? Wave your hands if you are with me. So we can continue from there. So there is a predestination. They that he foreknew, he predestined. That means that before we became a clot of blood in the womb of our mother, he knew us. That's what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah chapter 1 says that before I was conceived in the womb of my mother, you knew me, you called me, you ordained me as a prophet. Are you here? Tell somebody, I'm not an accident. One more time, tell someone, you are not an accident. You are in the predetermined counsel of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so this is predestination or predetermination. The Bible talks about the death of Christ to be a predetermined counsel of God. So before Jesus came in the flesh, his fate had been predetermined, but it was hidden from the princes of this world. That's why it says that if they knew that crucifying him will bring that much of a blessing, they wouldn't have done it. So the blueprint of your life is always the soul preserve of God. It's not in the hand of your pastor. Neither is it in the hand of your husband or wife. It's not in the hand of your parent. It's not in the hand of any teacher who is telling you are a dumb student, you are good for nothing. They can do the assessment, but the blueprint and kasadie is in the hand of God. Someone will say you are barren, you are whatever. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody it's in the hand of God. It's in a very safe hand. It's in a very safe hand. Praise the Lord. So they are predetermined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God doesn't just have a plan. He also has an idea of how that plan should finally look like. It's like an architect drawing a plan for a house. He can actually really image or imagine the outlook of that plan. That's why, I mean, for instance, we are doing, I think, 3D models, so that those of us who don't appreciate lines on paper can see the photo of what the lines mean. Do you understand? Yeah, so he says that the predestination, the foreknowledge, the predestination, in the end is to be conformed to a particular image. And that image is the perfection, or the perfect image of Christ. So every day, even in our flaw, in our weaknesses, we are work in progress to be conformed to an image that is already embossed on our spirit, if we are already Christians, but we are growing into that beautiful image. Are you here? Yeah, so when you take your childhood picture and you look at the way you are looking right now, you can see that you have emerged. You understand? You have emerged. Some of you have become better as you have been growing. The design has become better. Why is your face like that? You don't like the truth. I'm preaching the truth to you. You don't like it. You know, as you are growing, see, I'm becoming better. So we can use AI to even foretell, you know, your next 20 years, 30 years, how you'll be looking and all of that. You know, it is to be conformed to the image of his son. Praise the Lord. Are you here at all? To be conformed to the image of his son. Then in the verse 30, he now summarizes the whole process to us. He says that, moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. So the calling is not today matter. The calling was there before we were born. That's why in Christ we have the solid calling. The people whom he predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Praise the Lord. Now, he says that they that he justified, them he also glorified. Say, process is over. So I made all these points to say that glorification is the final state of redemption. That God has put glory as the final state of the conformity to the image of his son. From redemption to eternity, God's plan is glory. His plan is what? His plan is glorification. So everything God is doing in us is to bring us to a place of glorification. From the foreknowledge to the predestined counsel of God, to being called, to being justified, all of that is to make sure that you and I are glorified. Praise the Lord. So you can see that the real icing on the cake for our journey before here, here, and hereafter is glorification. Praise the Lord. Is it a good word I've preached already? So God's real plan is that everything that you are and you will ever become, there must be the revelation or the manifestation of his glory in the matter. So every step of the way, when he is closing the objective for that stage, we must see glory there. Are you here? Glory there in your education. Glory there. One stage. In your marriage, glory there. Every state of your life course, from childhood to adulthood, there must be glory every step of the way. No matter what happens in your life, his plan is to bring you to the state of glorification. And that's why the issue of glory is so important to God, and understanding that this is our season of glory is also very, very important. If you can understand, say, I understand very well. Now, in Romans chapter 5, because glory is God's ultimate destination for man, he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Romans 5, 1 and 2, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says that we have access by faith. We are justified by grace. Access by faith. So in the kingdom, redemption is by grace. It's provided by grace. It's received by faith. You know, someone was asking me, is salvation by faith or by grace? I say, it depends on the channel you are coming from. But it's a very simple process. Gift of God, which is eternal life, is by grace. It's not by works. The provision is by grace. But the receiving of it, the appropriation of it, is by faith. Is it clear? From man's side, is by grace. From God's side, The provision from God's side is by what? And the reception from man's side is by what? By faith. So that's why as many as believe, to them he gave the power to become what? Sons of God. But the gift is really free. Gift of salvation is free, is by grace. So he's saying that by grace we have accessed this justifiable life to stand before God. And then we now have access by faith. We have access by faith into the grace of God wherein we stand. Now, because of that, our life is supposed to be a very joyous life. And he says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in what? With the hope that salvation gives us. What makes it exciting is the glory element of that hope. Knowing that in Christ, I am going to be operating in a realm of glory. Hope is an assurance of what one could attain as you are expecting life hereafter. I'm not talking about just heaven, but from where you are, from your immediate time, I can expect that, oh, as I'm going to school, it's going to reduce poverty in my life. Is that not so? So it gives you a certain impetus to be able to push yourself, try to learn hard. Look at the way the Bible puts it in Colossians 1:27. In Colossians 1:27, he just puts it succinctly there. It says that, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. There's a mystery among the Gentiles, that those of us who are not originally Jews, who Christ originally came for, the Jews, we have been included into the salvation plan. It's a mystery. Gentiles in the salvation plan is a mystery. But it says that this mystery is defined in the body of Christ, in Christ himself being in us. It's not a mystery outside of the package of Christ. Actually, the mystery is that people cannot understand that the Gentile is rich in glory. How? Because the Gentile has Christ. The riches of every Gentile or anyone who has salvation is the fact that Jesus Christ became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, might have riches. He is our wealth. He is our riches. That is, if I have Christ, I have everything. If I have Christ, I have grace. If I have Christ, I have everything. He died to give me everything. And so receiving him makes me very rich in glory. And he says that if Christ is in me, then my hope should be conceptualized and confined to the attainment of glory, because Christ in me gives me the opportunity to walk in glory. If you are excited, why don't you clap and bless God? Tell somebody, you are not going to miss walking in glory at all. Your life, no. Say it my way. Your life, no. Must manifest glory. Because of Jesus Christ in you. Yes. Glory. Say glory. Yeah. Christ in us. This is the final state. That every one of us will manifest glory by the special grace of God. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is to say that if you are a Christian, you should not be anticipating the manifestation of curses in your life. You should not be anticipating the manifestation of bad occurrences in your life, because Christ has taken care of that. Praise the Lord. Christ, it doesn't matter what you are suffering. God's plan is to make you come to the place of glory. Joseph told them, he said, after all that I have suffered, God has brought me into glory. So go and tell my father all my glory. You can go through different stuff. Sometimes in the workplace, it can be very hard, yeah? But the plan of God is to bring you into glory. Sometimes some people start marriage and immediately it doesn't look like it's going to work. But the plan is glorification. And it will work if you are patient and prayerful and you depend on God. Praise the Lord. And so glorification is God's big, 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 big plan. So because of that, when you look into the Bible, you will find out that he gives us certain assurances and tries to position our faith in ways that we will understand that glory is really the final painting over everything that God is designing. So he puts glory as the final touch on everything that he's planned for us to go through. That pregnancy, the final touch is that we'll see the glory. We'll see the baby. Mother will be fine. Baby will be fine. Praise the Lord. That womb, God will put glory on it. So it doesn't matter how much you are struggling, the baby will come out. You will be pregnant by all means. Say amen. Amen. That delay, God has a plan to make sure that the glory will come out of that delay. Are you here? Sometimes then promotion, then office politics here and there. The plan of God is that in the end you'll be glorified. In the end you'll be what? Glorified. I can't hear you. In the end you'll be what? So he tries to also make us have this consciousness, this picture of glory. And first of all, one of the things he tries to make us have is that even in eternity, we are going to have eternal glory. Yes. Eternal glory. The weight of the glory of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10. He shows us eternal glory. He says that therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. One of the things that gives us joy here in going through the many challenges because of our faith is because we can now position our heart that if I'm able to go through all these things and stick with Jesus Christ, in the end there is something called eternal what? Glory. So even in eternity, God still, you know, advances the doctrine or the concept of glory, that boy, whatever you are going through here, you can withstand, you can endure. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. You know, like as a pastor, I can go through all manner of things so that in the end I will obtain eternal glory. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise God. And that's as a Christian, as you are going through life, there will be opportunities or temptations to compromise, opportunities or temptations to backslide and all of that. The reason why we don't take the regular route and the most comfortable route as far as this earth is concerned, or compromise our faith and our relationship with the Lord, is because we have our eyes set on eternal glory. That is why we do not break the instruction of God to obtain things here on earth to satisfy us, ourselves. We don't go into just making life comfortable for us with things that God does not approve of, because we have our eyes set on eternal glory. Say eternal glory. And this eternal glory, it has a crown. It has what? Tell somebody, one day I'll see you wearing a crown before God. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. Hey, I'm imagining you wearing a crown that God has put on you. It'd be nice to be up. Praise the Lord. Nice. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, tell somebody that God is just glorifying everything around you. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, it says that, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When Jesus shall appear, if you are standing with him, you will receive a crown of glory. It will be very nice, Bia. I want to receive one of those crowns. It's my determination, Pa, that in the end, hey, after going through this life, I will obtain one of these nice crowns that the chief shepherd will bring and put on us. I don't know whether it will be a crown as in on your head, or it will be, you will be crowned in a throne. I don't, but all I want is that, let me receive one. Yes, maybe it will be a dress. You know, sometimes the way we conceptualize things here, it's not the same as how God sees things there. When we get there, we will know what God's crown of glory looks like. Are you with me at all? Yeah. Maybe we'll be, I can't even imagine. But he says that when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. No, this gold, they say, doesn't fade, that is fading. This one, God's crown, it doesn't fade. Hey, proper crown, it's not fading. There's nothing you can do. It's just 100% or God percent. Nice, eternal crown of glory. How many of you want to receive one? You want to receive one? Yeah, that's why we are working. That's why you see some of us very dedicated to the work of God. We are sacrificial towards God's work. We are fighting anything Satan is trying to bring our way to make us compromise or not to do what God has called us to do, or to obey God in totality. We will fight it with our faith. We'll fight it with scripture. We'll fight it with everything we have, because this crown will be very nice. And I see you carrying one of these crowns in Jesus' name. That amen is not strong at all. Praise the Lord. So it's a crown of glory. There is glory with this crown. Recently, a case was brought to me. Somebody went to fight over chieftaincy, something, and then they jujued the person and he was dying. I said, now, so if you are going to fight on chieftaincy, this place that there is no soup around the throne, this is what you want to go and collect to kill yourself. Eh? This place is not just only in the bush. There is nothing there. It's a desert. You are just killing yourself for a throne in the desert. If you are not careful, civilization will not reach there until we go. You are going to allow yourself to die. Charlie, if you want to die, go for something like this. You understand? Go for something precious, more precious. Something that does not fade. So beautiful. And then again, because glory is God's final product, whatever he gives us, in redemption, he tries to put glory on top of it. So let's look at these two things. Ephesians 1, 6. What God gives us in redemption is grace. First and foremost, the grace of God. Ephesians 1, 6 says that, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. See, our acceptance in the beloved is as a result. That's why he's praising the grace, or the grace of God that has made us accepted among the beloved. And he says that to the praise of the glory of his grace. So even the grace of God, God puts glory on that grace. Are you here? The grace, though. Whatever you see as grace, God has put glory on that grace. This morning's teaching is for you to understand that if grace gave you marriage, the mind of God is to put glory on whatever grace gave you. You understand? Grace gave you a job. The mind of God is for God to put glory on what grace has given you. So even the grace itself has glory to it. Do you get it? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Glory is God's final state for us in redemption. So even the grace that makes us to secure salvation, he has put glory on it. That the grace is glorious. So that the man that is saved cannot fall short of anything that is glory. Because sin made man to fall out of glory. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But the gift of God is eternal life. That is the restoration to glory. And between the fall and the restoration is grace. Is what? And that grace has what? Glory. So everything God gave us, he ensured that glory is on it. Now, when you now are in grace, within that grace, every package within that grace has glory on it. So like when you read Revelations chapter 5, you will see the seven spirits of God. All these ones are hailing from grace. And one of those is power. One of them is what? Wisdom is there. You see all manner of things. Honor and all of that. Praise the Lord. Riches. You will see that if you go through the Bible, every single one of them has glory on it. This morning I will give you that of power. I'm just coming from an honor. Power! Shalakapata. Devil is a liar. Those of you who have been missing the honor, you have been missing power too much. Oh. Next month on, I don't miss it. It's too powerful. So we see that there is glory on grace. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. We see power when a pastor has... I mean, one of the ways to know that God is genuinely in a move that is happening is the association of his glory to that move. So sometimes you go into a meeting and things are happening there, but you don't see the glory of God in the matter. You see that yetumi bo obi asumo ase ni yeyi abo efri na sumo se. Then the person said, I was deaf, now I can hear. But you if you're a child of God and you are in a space where the glory of God is, you will see that your spirit will commune and you will feel the presence of God at work. The presence of God, it's like fish in water. That whole atmosphere, if God is really the one moving there, you will see that your spirit is flowing in glory. But sometimes a lot can be happening there. It's magic. You can see that ampao. But still, there's no glory there. It just tells you that, Charlie, there is a manifestation of power there without the glory of God. But the power that God gives, the power that comes from Jesus Christ, it's always decorated in glory. Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me? Sure, sure. Let's look at it. He said, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And from the glory of his power. The glory. See, the power that the Lord gives, you will see that there has to be glory of that power. See that, oh, when you see that it's flowing, sir, you can see that. You feel God more than the man of God standing there. You feel God more than even the healing that is happening. or the miracles that are happening. You can really feel the sense, the glory of God, feel the glory of God. You feel like loving God more and serving God more. You're not just happy that things happen, but you can really see that I'm in a fellowship with His presence and His glory. But sometimes, one way to know that God is not in a place is that things are happening, but the place is very dry of His glory. Because Satan can do things. And that power that may be doing things, if it's not from God, His glory will not be on it. And then you can see power flowing, but and God has not put His glory on things He has not sponsored. If He has sponsored that power, you will see clearly His glory on it. Because anytime He showcases any of His product, one of the things He showcases as an associate to that product is His glory. You will see that the glory has a lot of associates. I shared a lot with you. You will see that the glory is always in the company of greatness. So the greatness, you see, devil can give greatness. Even man can rise to greatness. But the greatness God gives, it comes with glory. When Queen of Sheba came to Solomon's temple, he was not in any kind of doubt that this greatness that this Solomon has. He could see the glory of God all around, from the temple to the atmosphere in there. You can sense Jesus. When you enter into some churches, you can sense Jesus. Some churches, you can sense man. Some churches, William should say, hey, my best shrine, hey, Atasa. You know, some houses when you enter, yeah, especially when you are hunting for houses to rent. Charlie, sometimes when I'm driving, I see houses in places and I say, ah, if you were here, the Chemikran here, Tono, 100 Ghana City Square, Minto. Because we to me, who say, Hanabron, something. Foundation of that house is not God. Are you here with me at all? No glory, no what? There is a lot of power without glory. Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the mountain and says that, I can give you everything you see here and the glory of it. Because Satan too can give glory. When God gives you power, He gives you glory to it. Praise the Lord. So, the things that God has said will become manifestations in our next phase, which starts from now. One of the things you should be expecting is the glory of God in every single matter. In your marriage, in your relationship with the Lord, the manifestation of power, praise the Lord, the manifestation of riches, all of them, you must expect the manifestation of God's glory in them, your contract, your promotion, because the glory is the final state that God wants to bring things to. Praise the Lord. Is it a simple message? So, since this is the case, and we have seen that the foundational key to this glory is redemption, which simply means that if you want the glory that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be born again. You got it? Because it is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, that opens the door to glory. So, in Christ, you can also potentially have the glory and not appropriate it at the different phases of your life. Because You can be born again and become a very disobedient child of God. And so Christ is in you. The fact that you are disobedient does not mean Christ will leave you, because you have already received Christ. He's become one in spirit with you. But you learn to walk with God. And in walking with God, there are principles of faith that you have to adhere to. Sometimes the faith itself becomes a capacity you need to build based on the hearing of the word of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if you see that some people, they are in Christ, but they have by heart living. It's like they are streetism is inside their Christianity. They are, Charlie, they live their lives in a certain way that sometimes when you hear that they are Christians, you just wonder, hey, now we're ninja Christians and now mafia Christians. But our job is not to judge them. We listen, we don't judge. Our job is to become the normative Christians, the ideal picture of what a true Christian should become. The Bible says that, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. So in the faith, there has to be good works for you to manifest more glory, or the glory that is in Christ, which is already embedded in your spirit. And James talks about the fact that even though salvation is not by works, when you receive Christ by faith through the grace of God that has brought you salvation, the definition of your faith itself in the realm of salvation is based on works. That's why it says that, show me your faith and I will show you your what works. So the confusion arises when preachers, we don't take time to break it down. Before coming into Christ, there is no work you would do that will bring you into Christ. You only need faith. Faith in what? Faith in the finished work of Christ. That Christ has died, paid for all my sins. So if I receive his debt and the payment that he has made for my sins, then I have appropriated his righteousness. That makes me a child of God. It's not by works. That one is by faith. How does that faith come? It comes by you hearing the preaching that Christ has died for your sin. And so now you don't need to carry the sin again. And if you believe it, you confess with your mouth, you believe with your heart, Christ comes to live in your life. It's free. But when you now come into this faith, into this grace wherein we stand, the faith in Christ must make you take certain actions based on the work, on the word of God. And those actions are what the Bible calls as actions of what? Faith. Is it clear? So in Christ, you need to work. And the work you do is based on your faith. Abraham, okay, now you have stopped serving idols. Now you are with God. God says that you are going to go somewhere. I want you to leave, go. And he starts going based, now he started his journey with the Lord. And he's going, where? He said, go. He gives birth, he said, sacrifice the child from his works, to as an expression of your faith in Christ. So to see the glory of God in Christ, there are works. There are what? Works of faith. There are works of what? Am I taking my time this morning? One of those works is called humility. It's called what? It will be very difficult to manifest glory when you are proud. I think at this point I can stop the preaching. Humility. Tell somebody, humility is a key to walking in the glory of God. So in James 1:9, in the NASB, James 1:9, NASB says that, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. There's always a connection between humble circumstances, humility, and glory. In fact, you will see in James chapter 3 verse 14 again, it says that, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. So we can see here that there are people who are arrogant. And arrogance does not flow on the same frequency with the truth. Now, John chapter 1 makes us understand that grace and truth work together. That grace has glory. Anybody who is gracious does not have an ambition of the heart that makes them bitter forever, jealous forever, arrogant or prideful forever. There is no value in pride. Whether you are a pastor, whether you are a husband, whether you are a boss, whoever God makes you, there is no glory in being arrogant, being proud. And sometimes your pride is manifested in the words you speak. Sometimes it talks about the ambition of your heart. I think it starts from the heart first. The fact that you look down on people and you feel supreme to others. You feel superior to others. I don't know. Am I preaching or I'm dancing? You have to understand that the position God has given you is a position of grace. And it comes with glory. So whether you are a pastor, it's a privilege that I'm a pastor. I cannot allocate to myself powers that have not been given to me by God. And God did not put me in this position to be looking down on his people or to make myself a lord over them. You see, many of the things that we fight for, that makes us even exhibit tendencies of pride and arrogance and lack of humility, are things or status or positions or authority that God has given us, and we don't need to even fight for it. If you are a pastor, you are a pastor. Do you need to fight for it? Is there anybody here who doesn't know I'm the pastor of the church? I don't need to fight for it. As the pastor of the church, you know, hey, man. Listen, someone say, man. Take it easy. Yeah. Be calming now. Among the two of you, if you are the husband, Charlie, no need to be arrogant. If you are arrogant, it becomes difficult for us to celebrate your victories. Yesterday, I was watching Chelsea and Wolves in the evening. I was desiring that Garnacho will not score. Because when that boy, you know, people will leave teams. They will leave here. That guy left Man U before he left. Small boy. Arrogance. Sancho, arrogance. So we don't wish you well, even though we don't wish you to fail, but we really don't wish you well. And we can't celebrate your, we are not praying that you should have injury. We are just we just don't wish you well. Yeah, every day no bobo na enye se bibi papa bi a be sikra ma ne mfa so mba. Yeah, because you are too arrogant. Even the way you will celebrate a goal, it will be throwing shades without words. You know, so people, they say a lot without saying anything. Yeah. So sometimes your wife wishes to have a car and still wishes that you are not the one who bought the car for her. But she also wishes that the husband bet me to car, man. But when you saw a car free once, you attempt to deal without words. You know, you are too arrogant. Yes, Anna, the power of your husband, you know, doesn't have glory on it. Hey. Yeah. Some women reluctantly receive money from their husband. Because I can't imagine. I'm being one the pop, when she meets her friend, she says, "Oh, my husband provides for me," but she's still crying on the inside because, Chale, it's a money that when you spend, you know, you don't spend with a lot of pride, you don't spend with a lot of satisfaction. You don't say when a matter arises and you are speaking. It's not just a matter of the fact that you are an angry person or you are a short-circuited person. The Bible said that out of the abundance of your heart. You see, there is no mistake. When we are speaking, there is no mistake. Oh. The things coming out of your mouth, you know, they are programs of your heart for a very long time. So now it has just received a trigger for it to come out. And we can see that, Charlie, the canker inside. It's what is coming out. Yeah, and after that, you try to come and do damage control B and all of that to be Charlie, brother. So, Sawajuni. There must be glory in our relationships. That humility. If God gives you something beautiful, yeah, it's even more glorious when you are humble. God gives you wisdom. That wisdom can be the reason why you are very arrogant. But when you are humble, you will see the glory. Jesus in his humility. I mean, what is beautiful that this God in the flesh, they are beating him, spitting on him. He's not talking. I mean, I want to ask you, why do you always have a need to defend yourself? Sometimes your intelligence is to be quiet and showcase a certain level of stamina, capacity to absorb shocks. It makes the victories God give you more glorious. Because sometimes you will say a lot, and the victory is programmed. But you say so much in the process that when the victory comes, we can't even celebrate how God has done well for you. Hey. Me, I want to stop the preaching, because the way some people are looking at me, it's like, what kind of preaching is this one? Say glory, glory. Say in your relationships, be humble so that the glory will show. Do you know that God put glory upon all his creation? He put glory on man. That's why man could fall from glory. If you were not in glory in the first place, you couldn't fall from there. And so the man that has Christ has so much glory. And when you are talking, when I'm talking to Annapel, I shouldn't be like the people who tried Jesus. You see, in that trial, one of the things that was done was that, apart from them trying to fabricate stories, they also tried to spit on him. Are you with me? They also tried to beat him down. They tried to hurt him. And they tried to in the process, they tried to crucify him and all of that. Sometimes, church brother and sister, when you are talking about somebody, even if it's factual, are you just trying to take the glory out of them? Or, like, what are you trying to do? Ask somebody, what do you really try to do? You are not happy about somebody. Yeah, you just, must you take the glory from the person? They spat on Jesus. So when you hear the way some people talk about their friends, it's like after talking to you, no, you have no shade of glory or value for the person they spoke to you about. Every glory will be eroded. It will fade away. Yeah. But the reason why it is so is because sometimes we are not humble at heart. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant too. We are seeing the root cause of some of the things you are doing. The way you are speaking, we can deduce that you are a very bitter and jealous person. Sometimes when you see people the way they act, you can see that in the same way you see normal they act. You know, it's like there is a bigger trigger. It's a bigger trigger. Just say, "Why should you watch it?" We in na enze as ababa ni pepe penti. So odufu with the weight of whatever has been. Are you here with me at all? But tell somebody that just be calm, be humble, be humble. I believe that God has already programmed glory for us, and if we are humble, we'll see that glory. Sometimes you really have to be humble, even with your boss. In all the whatever, politicking, just be humble. Because Charlie, I always look at Joseph and I say, "Hey, Charlie guy." In all his process, he didn't do, you don't see him doing any bad thing. He was just flowing with the plan of God, even though things were going against him. Are you here with me? Flowing. Nothing will change with this your arrogant posture. You will feel like I have to help myself. Hey, one day I went to preach somewhere in Sipoli, and I was preaching, not knowing that there was a guy there. As I was preaching about whatever I was preaching, he was interpreting what I was preaching in a particular way, because he was following a particular man of God. And that man of God, they have spoken a lot about my relationship with him in their circles. So me, I'm preaching A, he's interpreting B. I'm preaching A, he's interpreting B. And at the time I went to preach, I think they had done a program there like 2 weeks before. And then the campus invited me also to come and do program. So he came, I don't know whether he came as a spy, whatever, but it's like whatever I was preaching was not receiving it well. So when we closed, he confronted my team. He was very angry when we closed outside. Yeah, and he wanted to confront me. So the people who were around me also wanted to, they tried to chale. I told them, "Hey, just relax. Truth is one. Just relax." So we drove and we went home. In 1 month, this boy, he would come, we would know that God day. And Chebia, it was not up to 2 months. My pastor and I, we used to live in the mission house. My pastor is upstairs, I'm downstairs at the basement. Mishawana, my pastor, my friend, me say, "Francois," that's how my pastor calls me. "Francois, come out, come out." I said, "Oh, daddy." "May you want to say, Francois, come out." So I came out.
When I came, this same boy, he was at the verge of being initiated into an occultic practice by this same pastor he wanted to kill us for, that he thought we were against. And when the process now bore far, from the campus, now he took a run to my house. He need deliverance. Me say me. See a cow's wound here. So, when he now came face to face with the devil himself, that's when now he was running for his life. That if this pastor has been able to withstand this guy for many years, then this is the only place I can go and get my deliverance. I didn't need to fight, eh? Fight him, sorry. He said whatever he would say. I finished preaching to people and he's misbehaving there. Some of us will have the need. Some of my team members say, let's beat him. I say, hey, after preaching, we are going to beat. I say, we can't beat. Just allow. Just what? I can't hear you. Just what? You see, the glory of it is that God will never leave himself without a witness. He will always defend himself. And so, some of the things you want to defend yourself, fight for. Now he's a pastor. Anywhere he is, he's in another country. He'll call me and say, Papa. When I remember where we have come from and he's calling me Papa. I say, how far? He said, oh, Papa, we are following. So some years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, I saw him following. He wanted to be a pastor in the country he was. A pastor wanted him to be his 2IC. So I was on the social media and I saw that he was operating within the space of the pastor. So I called him and said, what are you doing there? So, this pastor came to our city and then he says he wants me to become his second in command. But I said, run for your life. And I said, do you know why you should run for your life? He said, Papa, I don't need to ask. When he ran, and the pastor became national news, one of the fakest pastors in that particular country. But it had to take that small space when he was on campus trying to follow a fake prophet for him to encounter. Taste and see first, you know, before they will know that God is good. So we have to, some of them, allow. Tell somebody, allow. Allow. This one, when I say run, under contract, he was not interested in the reasons why he should run in another country. He said, if you have said it's okay, it's okay, I will go. So as he was running, I was giving him reasons why you should run, because, you know, A, B, C, D, and all of that. And chakra. So it takes humility to manifest the glory of God. If you are selling, it takes. Recently, I went to a facility. The lady who is attending to people, she was a beautiful lady, so much on her phone. Just imagine, like, for a hospital, everyone coming there. There is a very important reason why the person is coming to that place. Is that not so? And the receptionist is preoccupied with her phone. And people are talking to her. And she's not interested in looking at the other. She looks at them with one cheeky face. Goes on her phone. Okay, like that. But I said, wow. I said, this girl. This arrogant girl sitting here will kill more people than diseases will kill people. No humility. I'm sure if I had any authority in the management of that facility, the next day, she will be gone. Sometimes you are offering a service. I remember, Pa, when you were coming for the interview,
How you said you were a team player. I said you are humble. You said, yes, it's on your CV. And when you came, you repeated it. You can work under pressure and all of that. Did you not say it? Ask someone, did you not say all that? Now, when we gave you the job, you have become a demigod in that space. You see, that's why the glory is not showing. Praise the Lord. And I pray that someone said, he said, you resemble Christ when you are humble. When you are humble, you resemble Christ. Charlie, you're a hairdresser, be humble. You say we no more boy thing, but in fan fashion can quash yourself. Just be humble. When we are begging you to reduce the price more, now don't be telling us your mind. The price, and if you won't reduce, you won't reduce. You understand? But don't insult us on top. People just find ways to misbehave. And it is just simply because sometimes we lack humility. You know, are you with me? Sometimes when I see some of the pastors we are raising exhibit a certain character, I say, hey, now where's Usiani? Like, it's not in our DNA. Why are you trying to function like that? Where did you learn this one from? It's not. If we are servants of God, we must have the attributes of Christ. It is in that realm that we will see the glory of God. I think it's enough for this morning. Shall we rise? Charlie, the way you are clapping, it's not humility at all. Eish. Humility clapping. Beautiful. Praise God. I see the glory of the Lord upon you. The glory of your power. The glory of his grace. All upon you. Say amen. The school you are attending, may the glory come upon it as well. The career you are pursuing, may the glory come upon it. Any power God has given you, may the glory come upon it. When you are demonstrating, illustrating, when you are executing, may we see the glory of God in the whole matter in Jesus' name. Everywhere and everything that you start doing, open your mouth. Father, I want to see your glory upon it. I pray for your glory upon the power you have given me. I pray for... Pastor, come and pray with us. I pray for the glory. Shantalabakaba. Raise your hand and pray. Let's pray for some 5-10 minutes. It's part of our fast. Let's pray for the manifestation of the glory of God. Open your mouth.
The name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray. The manifestation of God's glory in our lives. Lift up your voice. Mando sita pahaya. Librando shanta bakabandola bavaya. Lift up your voice. Let the glory manifest in my life. Mendo shantola bakabaya. Rendo la basonda bakaba. Librindo boshanda. Mantele bekaparia patola bakataya. Libro sandola babaya. Vedia do shanda. Libro sitola baba. Keleba brando boshanda. Raperia tula badakaya. Rapenda basola bataya. Hallelujah.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jifamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.